There exists a sixth dimension beyond that which is known to you two. It is a dimension that's disconnected from your stupid bullshit. What's that? A train. Quick, look out. It's headed to the Rylone Zone. There's too much popcorn content, and we all know that. We all know there's way too much popcorn content. Not enough hard-hitting, evocative, honest stuff. People are afraid of losing their platforms now. So I understand why there's not more evocative content. But stuff that's out there now, it's not stuff to help you think or to make you think or to spur you to think. It's like directional. It's like the content made now is directional. It's supposed to either guide you to enjoy 4 hours of analysis videos, or it's meant to make you mad at these 4 minute clips, or you're supposed to clap after each 30 second clip of a liberal or a conservative getting owned, depending on which side of the aisle you're on. So that's pretty dangerous, I think. Spend your time that way instead of spending it on content that makes you reevaluate what you're doing in life, what you're doing with your relationships, your friends and family. Content that makes you reevaluate what kind of content you're making. Content that makes you want to make your own media. You know? And I would say that there is content that reviews other media that does qualify as content that makes you want to create your own media. Right? In the last few months, I've encountered a lot of people who are very inspired by DigiBro. Artist formerly known as DigiBro Trixie is an analyst that I love. Is content that I like. I like The Kino Corner. I like Andy Signore. I like Vito Disvaldi. I like Cosmo Variety Hour. I think these are the people who are making content about content and that are good. We don't need another 1,000 analysis content clones. Because we've got, I think, we don't need another Your Movie Sucks or Gigic, you know, or like another Mahler or Your Mother's Basement, because we have those. So I don't need more drama YouTube commentators. I couldn't probably name as many as I just did. Media review YouTubers. But I just don't, I wouldn't want those either. My feed, I'm not going to watch you. Probably feel like a new up-and-coming drama YouTuber, because if I can't get the story, if I can't get the right information from Augie RFC or from Oblax or from fucking, there's a few places where I'll go to like look at internet content or internet stories or whatever. I like Turkey Tom's videos, Justin Wang's channel, or from AJ Historian, or from Oki's Weird Stories. I like these investigative report type videos about things that happen. Not necessarily about people on the internet, but about like things on the internet that are happening. I like that kind of content. I think that the most provocative content on the site right now is my favorite content. The stuff that's like right on the outskirts is acceptable. Sam Hyde, Frank Hassel, Dick Masterson, Mr. Girl. All of the clips on the Dick Show YouTube channel are super suppressed. Frank Castle and Sam Hyde are both banned off of YouTube and using, you know, Gumroad. And we use OnlyFans. We use OnlyFans because it has native video uploads and because Patreon doesn't. The world is set up in such a way as that you cannot possibly win without cheating to some degree. To a degree, and I don't mean cheating as in breaking promises to people and breaking your word. I mean, like, it's impossible to not break the law. You have to cheat in society. You have to break the law. Sometimes you have to park in illegal parking places and then at the end of the month just pay the tickets because it might have been more expensive to just park in some of these totally fucking rip-off parking lots. Like when you fly into a place. What we do is we leave the car at JFK and we take the train from the airport into the city, because there's no reason to take a car in New York City. It's ridiculously expensive. It's a huge waste of fucking your money. And a time when you could just, for like $20-something, get like an unlimited subway card and just bop, bop, zip, zip, zoom, that shit the world is built in a way where you're rewarded for challenging the system as long as you do it in a very specific fashion that caters to the specific people who are in charge of whether or not you succeed, right? So if you wanna, you say you're Stuttering John and your biggest claim to fame in recent decades is that you prank called the president, you prank called President Trump. What you've done is like you've broken the rules. I've got friends who have faced legal trouble for prank calls, and they weren't prank calling the president, but everybody hated that president. Imagine if someone who was like starkly anti-Obama had called in and gotten into the White House or onto Air Force One, like Stuttering John did, to have like a prank conversation with Obama to waste his time and then like joke about that for several years. Just think about that. I'm not like a Trump guy. I'm not a fan of politicians at all. My favorite president's Bartlett. I like to challenge my ideals specifically. I like to challenge the ideals of those around me. I like to ask, what do you mean by that? I think that like people who do make content that is evocative and challenging like that are people who ask questions like that. Dick Masterson's interviews with people on the fringe of society, weirdos or trolls, people hate or people that people love because of their whatever is extra about them. He gets really thorough interviews done by imploring constantly and digging deeper and further into like what makes someone what they are and what they mean by that. You know, like, oh, what do you mean by that? So I've adopted that phrase into my vernacular for sure. My friends here constantly, well, what do you mean by that? They'll say something to me, something dumb, and I'll go, what do you mean by that? And I'll challenge them on something. And I do it to Mint Salad a lot. She'll be on some of these, just kind of. Or maybe she won't. She probably won't be on the right moment zone proper. She'll be around. The thing about It's Been Salad is that people think that we're in like an abusive relationship. The two things, people assume I'm older than I am, and that I'm like some 30-year-old dude and she's like fucking, she's 20 years old. And I'm endangering. But I'm 22 turning 23. When people find that out, they kind of chill on the whole, like, oh, you're a groomer. But, like, I just get called groomer a lot. Or, like, the funny one is when they find out that, like, we're basically the same age. She's 20 and I'm 22. And they find out that she actually likes me. They just say I gaslit her. That's a popular one. That's a funny thing about me and It's Been Salad's relationship. But I think that at the same time, it's evocative. The relationship we have allows us to be an evocative power couple. She's such a talented artist, and I'm a very talented provocateur, and I'm always having to push her on what she means by things she says. I have to call her on her shit constantly in a way that some people would say is abusive, but those people are pussies who don't value their own time or their partner's time, and I would say don't want their partner to be better or do better at skill sets, at, you know, at like time management or at budget. Like, sometimes you have to yell at your partner for them to do the right thing. But I think that what do you mean by that is a really good way to dig into the essence of what someone thinks they're saying. Because I'll catch people all the time saying something, like, what do you mean? I'm like, oh, I don't know, I wasn't really thinking about it. People, why weren't you thinking about something you're saying? It's kind of dangerous, right? Because you should start with thinking and then you say some shit. I tend to say stuff that I stand behind. Even when I accidentally say it, you know, I consider that what it is, a Freudian slip. A Freudian slip, you see? Fucking a Freudian slip. Shut the fuck up, Mint Salad. I'm recording, you whore. You bitch! I wish I could just beat her on camera. But it's YouTube rules. Well, actually, OnlyFans might let me beat you on camera.
Oh no.
Good thing to think about, Sloot.
Exciting.
People who are actually making good content and putting it online, right? Or who have put it online. Sam Hyde, Dick Masterson, Endless Jess, Mr. Girl right now. Frank Hassel, Maxwell Kimball, these are the people that I look up to as content creators. People who are actually making good content, people who they're putting it online, but they're making it in real life, right? Lots of people are on YouTube making content about stuff that they saw online, with programs online, and voice recordings in their room. It's not that that's lower tier content, I appreciate it, but I watch Glink videos because of that element of, like, we're gonna go out and we're gonna do something and film it. I really, really like the Kino Corner because he'll go out and he'll film, like, on location in some of these movie reviews where he's at. I think that's crazy. I'm going to copy all of them in some ways, more and in some ways less obviously, because I feel like the way that you properly build yourself is you take a bunch of these disconnected, could you hold this actually, it's getting hard kind of, I think what it is, right, for me, is I think that the way you build yourself is by taking your influences and the things that inspire you and mixing them up in a blender, like fusion content. Like, I'm not doing Dick Masterson, right, but I obviously have been influenced by him in big ways and co-signed by him, friends with him. I'm not just doing Dick Masterson, though. Like, I'm doing, in essence of doing Dick Masterson, I'm doing everybody he's doing. And I'm doing Hunter S. Thompson. And I'm doing Ari the Rugged Man. I'm doing Frank Hassel. And I'm doing Brandon Buckingham. Just all these multitudes of different people's, like, shticks that I'm a fan of. You're supposed to take all these different colors and mix them. Until you find, like, a new color, until you invent a new color, like a new angle at it, right? Because I'm sure that Ari the Rugged Man is all these people that came before him's influence into what he's gonna do with it. Frank Hassel is clearly influenced by, like, the Sam Hydes and the, I would even say, like, just, like, fucking iDubbbz to some degree is a big influence on me. And I think on other people who do this, like drama commentary video and different things are supposed to be blended into one thing. Like, documentarian, IRL prankster, podcast host, and writer. I find it part of my duty to create a video here and there that notches off those various, like, for me. So if you find me and you're like, oh, wow, I really like these themes, right? Maybe you could watch this thing I do. When you're out of these eight things, you can watch the thing that I'm doing. Is the way that I kind of look at it. Is like, when you're out of those things, I've got content that you can come watch and you can come look at my stuff when I'm done with making it. It's a big playground. I have monumental standards for my own work. Personally watch highly edited and scripted exploration videos on various topics. Videos I think of Kino, and like you'll find on the Kino Corner, Okie's Weird Stories, Glink, Few and Far Between pieces put up by Maxwell Kimball are great. I like when people take risks. Make weird shit. Take risks. Make weird shit. Learn your craft, right? Observe what other people are doing and do what you're doing with subtle twists. I think is something that's like an important lesson that I've learned. As you want to keep people engaged and interested, especially in so much as like that artistic integrity part of things. How to ride the highs and lows of the stock market style career that I think YouTubers have, where they just kind of have to buy the dip constantly. And like you as a fan are in charge of the value of the content creator's career. I get to watch Trixie's career. And I get to hear her talk about and look at the analytics on the channel for all the years leading up to it. And it just reminds me that at no point was any type of the content she was making that connected to her success on the channel. So much as just trends were. Trends were very connected to the success of the channel. Popularity within that fan base of trend followers who would like hop on a sub, the view count would always be like much lower for videos coming out. You know, maybe used to be like 20,000 views in like a week, and now they're like 3 to 12 comfortably in a week. But it's kind of, it's weird because it's like a It was because she was obsessed about and diving deep into her craft that she did gain the fervent supporters that she had. And that's an important lesson. Brandon Buckingham is one of the most endearing entertainers that I've ever watched. And after I unfollowed Danny Mullen because of his beef with Brandon, it was obvious that Danny acted easily and emotionally about something he had no reason to care about. He was like acting out about it, without any real like hesitation to do so. And the thing is, like, so my fight with Ethan Ralph, I think that where the Brandon Buckingham and Danny Mullen beef kind of parallel, the issue that Ralph has with me now is that I'm not gonna go away or be quiet about the behavior that I don't like about him that he has used on me. Right? Like, he's involved me in his life in a way by doing some things to me and saying some things directed at me and my friends, specifically my girlfriend, that he hasn't taken back, but he couldn't be taken back. And the point I'm making specifically is that Brandon Buckingham's gonna win because he's gonna like keep memeing on Danny, and Danny's gonna keep trying so hard to move past it with little slips here and there, and then he's gonna keep slipping up to move past it. Whereas like Brandon Buckingham's going to intend to fuck with him and just be fucking with him. And I think it's like, if you're confident you're the man, you don't have to worry about that level of petty shit that people like Ralph worry about, or Boogie worries about, or that Danny Mullen worries about. You don't have to, you can work with or without the guy, right? But you don't have to, every double down and every failed backstab attempt, as well as every successful one, broke the image of Danny that made his content appealing to me as like a smart, authentic, and honest writer who does skits and music throughout charismatic comedy performances. View Danny now as a UCB failure, much like anyone that I've mocked from UCB, from Upright Citizen Brigade. You know, Maddox and his troop of friends. How Redneck's a pussy. I think Danny Mullen is a case of not understanding like the string theory. Everything is connected by red strings. It's an important thing to learn. You pull on the red strings, then you're gonna like tug on someone else, and when they move, they're gonna pull a bunch of other red strings. And society's so tight right now, there's more tension than ever. And when you like take your arm and just swipe it across a room full of red strings, you're causing like a real big problem you don't even realize you're causing. The only thing I regret about the Ethan Ralph fight is it made it awkward to potentially hang out with some people, right? But it also like, it made it awkward to potentially encounter him in the future and have to beat him up again, right? Like, either me or men. It depends on who sees him first, I guess, or wants to punch him the most. But I created a little bit of awkwardness, and awkwardness isn't like good for workflow. I want to grow out of making decisions like these by the time I hit my late 20s, and you do too. You want to grow out of these behaviors. See, what I plan to start doing is taking a more honest and open approach to showing you guys my thought process and my journey of going through this online hellscape and navigating it, right? Learning what to listen to, what not to listen to, what's bullshit, what's a waste of time, what parts are just like a total fucking ideological trap to get you committed to a cult for the rest of your life. I don't think you need an EDAD like Jordan Peterson, but some of the Dick Show rants, those clips on the YouTube channel, The Dick Show, patreon.com/The Dick Show, some of the Sam Hyde Wars stuff, that's really solid life advice and career advice if you, not if you want to be an entertainer, but if you've already found yourself on the fringes of things. I'll talk more in another video about it, but I doubt I could sustain a normie job now, because I've done enough weird shit online that got enough attention. And I just have really fervent haters. Like, I really, really deep divey, really pushy, really button pushy haters. So there's that. I think that even Phoneers of America and Frank Hassel have really solid advice about maneuvering correctly, in the sense that you can gain insight on how to do what you want outside of the rules. There's a Frank Hassel video where he walks up to a lady and it's like a line in a supermarket or whatever, and he just jukes around her and walks in. And he's got it in this fun meme clip that's talking about how, like, you can do whatever you want. Rules aren't real. And I agree with that. Strictly in the sense of, like, if you're a sociopath, you can get away with doing more things more of the time that are fun because you don't really care. And I think society hinges upon you caring. The other thing about YouTube content being so fucking bland now is that this provocative content hinges upon you caring. And I don't mean rage content. I don't mean like, this is clickbaity to make me upset. I mean content that is meant to give you a very honest and ground floor perspective into a difficult topic or a personal experience. You need to make content that has a point and shows a perspective. The Rylone Zone.